Serving veterans from sea to shining sea. You're listening to Hometown Heroes with Paul Leffler. Brought to you by this local station and its sponsors. And presented everywhere on the air and online by Paul Everett's RV Country. With 8 locations in 5 western states.
Welcome back to Hometown Heroes, marking episode number 442 of this program with a tribute to the 442, the go-for-broke soldiers of the 442nd Regimental Combat Team, a segregated unit of Japanese Americans who risked their lives while their families were held captive back home in the States. In the year 2000, President Bill Clinton upgraded the decorations of 19 veterans from the 442 to our nation's highest military award, the Medal of Honor. One of those was Joe Sakato, who passed away in December 2015 at the age of 94. 4 years earlier, when I sat in his living room in Denver, Colorado, I wanted to get his reaction to his Medal of Honor citation, which originally accompanied the Distinguished Service Cross.
After his platoon had virtually destroyed 2 enemy defense lines, during which he personally killed 5 enemy soldiers and captured 4, his unit was pinned down by heavy enemy fire. Disregarding the enemy fire, Private Sakato made a one-man rush that encouraged his platoon to charge and destroy the enemy strong point. While his platoon was reorganizing, he proved to be the inspiration of his squad in halting a counterattack on the left flank, during which his squad leader was killed. Taking charge of the squad, he continued his relentless tactics, using an enemy rifle and P-38 pistol to stop an organized enemy attack. During this entire action, he killed 12 and wounded 2, personally captured 4, and assisted his platoon in taking 34 prisoners. By continuously ignoring enemy fire, and by his gallant courage and fighting spirit, he turned impending defeat into victory and helped his platoon complete its mission. Private Sakato's extraordinary heroism and devotion to duty are in keeping with the highest traditions of military service and reflect great credit on him, his unit, and the United States Army. They gave you the Congressional Medal of Honor, the highest decoration that anyone in our armed forces can receive.
That was 50 years later.
President Bill Clinton pinned it on you. You've got a picture of it right here. When they did that, and I'm sure you were proud to have received the Distinguished Service Cross, I'm sure it made you think of all your fellow soldiers who died in that process, but what did it mean to you to receive the highest honor that our government can give?
I couldn't believe I was getting the Medal of Honor. To me, I wear this medal for those that didn't come home. The first day, fell from Washington, gets killed and died, just loss of blood. The other 3 guys got sniper wounds right next to me, just in arm's length. 3 of them got killed, and I wondered, how is it that I'm able to come out of this alive and to be able to receive this medal? I didn't deserve this medal. I was doing what I was supposed to do, my duty. And when I wear this medal, I wear it for those that didn't make it back. And I also wear it for one German that I shot. I went on a patrol, we got down, and we heard this German giving instructions, and the machine gun opens up, and one of the fellas dang near got shot. And I saw this German that was giving the orders, and I shot him in the legs, thighs. He went down and he saw me, then he picked up his gun, and when he picked up his gun, I shot him again, I shot him in the groin, and I took off back to our lines, and I hear you screaming and crying for help. And then when I got on top of the hill, our lines, and he's still screaming, and boom, no more screaming. I wonder what happened. Next day we went over and took the hill. I checked on the fellow that I shot. He was in so much pain that he took a grenade and blew himself up, committed suicide. He never went home. So I wear this for him too.
This all happens with the Congressional Medal of Honor more than 50 years after World War II. You've come home. You've had the privilege of having a family that so many of your fellow soldiers didn't get to come home and do. You worked for the post office for more than 30 years, and you're just happy in retirement. How did you find out that you're going to get the Congressional Medal of Honor?
I couldn't believe it. Guys, I thought somebody was pulling my leg. He said, no, come to Washington. What? No, really? He's the only 10 in the family that come, though, because it's going to be in the Rose Garden. And I said, well, 20 of us are going to get 10, that's 200 and some people. They'll never get in the Rose Garden. So I says, well, send me my medal. I don't need to go there. No, you got to come. So I finally get over there, and so happens a Saudi prince from Arabia had come to Washington, and they put up this big tent, plastic chandeliers, and had trees and shrubbies and air conditioned, and 500 people sitting there. So we finally got everybody in, and then I'm on the stage, and Bill Clinton comes up, and he calls my name, and I get up, and I look at him. I had to look up. He's pretty tall. I got up, and he's putting this on me, and he shakes my hand, and he says, I still couldn't believe that I was getting this Medal of Honor. And I says, no, this doesn't seem right. But like I say, so I wear this not as a hero. I wear this for those who never made it back home.
And that was in 2000 when you received the Congressional Medal of Honor. But you were in Washington, D.C. again recently to receive the Congressional Gold Medal, which is something that was given to all the Nisei veterans of World War II. How meaningful was that for you to see all these other men who had not been recognized for so long, maybe whose service and sacrifice while their families were being held prisoner really wasn't fully understood? How meaningful was that for you to be there with all of them and receive that honor?
I couldn't believe we were getting this gold medal. I said, well, what? So we go to Washington, and 8,000 people over there, 100 and some of us veterans were there, and we each got this medal, and it's a bronze duplicate of the gold medal. I didn't get the gold medal. They gave me just a bronze duplicate of the Congressional Gold Medal.
Why? Well, I bet you had some really memorable interactions with other Nisei veterans of World War II.
Yes. When you get together, we talk stories. we call it. Where were you when they did? Well, I was over there when they with what's his name, or what's his name was over there. So it's good to be able to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And so I get this duplicate bronze medal. Mm-hmm. There's four color guards in front, and the rest of the platoon is looking forward. Mm-hmm. Top is the
MIS?
MIS, Military Intelligence Service. The 100 battalions on the left and 442nd on the right-hand side. We all received the gold medal award from Washington, D.C.
Was that some sense of closure for you to see how much it changed over 70 years since Pearl Harbor happened and President Roosevelt issued Executive Order 9066, and you and so many other Japanese Americans became enemy aliens?
Yes, this was a closure for me. This way I could feel we all received a duplicate of the gold medal award, so this kind of helps relieve the thought of all the men that had died, and we were able to receive this as a closure for our battles in Europe and Pacific. It's something else to be look at, to see and hold. It kind of puts me at ease. I still have nightmares. I still remember some days I'm in battle. I wake up, but when I wake up, I'm in my room. Or I'm home. Like I say, I still have memories. I can remember every day, every battle I've been in. And I talk about it. If I had to keep it in myself, I would be in a nut house, crazy house. So you don't hold it in you. If you don't talk about it, you keep it in yourself, you're going to lose your mind.
Well, I'm glad you're talking about it. And I'm curious what you think is important for the rest of us who weren't there, who didn't live through this time, who didn't see firsthand what the Gopher Broke unit, the 442nd, endured. What do you think is important for us to know going forward about what you and all those other soldiers did?
We had to prove our loyalty, that we were our Americans, and this proves that we were there, and we finally fought both battles of discrimination and the Battle of Europe and the Pacific Islands. So this eases our pain that we have to suffer so many years, 70 years ago, but I can still remember every battle. I don't know how, but I talk about it, and I want to talk to the soldiers of Iraq and Arabia, Afghanistan, to talk about it. Don't hold it into you and talk. Otherwise, you're going to be in a sanitarium somewhere and never get out. At least talk about it to ease your pain, and you'll feel a whole lot better once you've talked about it.
Well, you have lots of things that remind you of your time with the 442nd. You're wearing the Congressional Medal of Honor around your neck. We were looking at the Congressional Gold Medal you recently received. You have all the memories, and you have a little souvenir that the Germans gave you, too. What's that all about?
That's a little piece of shrapnel that went through my pack and went through my overcoat, and it was hit my spine and ricocheted into my left lung. So now, right now it's in the area that it won't move or anything. It'll form a gristle around it. And so the upper half of my lungs, left lung, is collapsed with the shrapnel with gristles around it. So that's protected my lungs. But every time I get an x-ray of my lungs, and they see this little small souvenirs in there, and I wonder, what is that? That's a German souvenir that the Germans gave me.
I'm sure you've gotten some interesting reactions from that.
X-ray ticket, she says, wow, look at that thing. What's that? They're wondering what was all the little black dots in the set in my left lung, and they wonder what the heck that was. Now they know, so I had to tell them that this was a piece of German souvenir that they gave me.
And I imagine that's one more thing that reminds you how fortunate you are and how close you came to it being you as one of the 400,000 Americans who died in World War II.
Yeah, if I didn't have the overcoat in there, it would have probably severed my spine and I wouldn't be here.
If you didn't have the overcoat, if you hadn't stolen the Tommy gun from the tank, yeah, you probably wouldn't be here, huh?
Right. That all that plays in the same area that helped me get along and come out of the war in extra pieces, but I made it back home, so it made it real nice. I'm proud that I survived and I was able to go through, and I was able to do the in battle and come out alive and still be able to talk about it, and I'm glad I'm home now. It feels real good to be home.
Now he truly is home as of December 2015. That's Joe Saccato, the last of 21 Medal of Honor recipients from the 442nd Regimental Combat Team. I have several links for you at hometownheroesradio.com if you'd like to explore this unique chapter in American history. And nobody has done that better than the Go for Broke National Education Center and its Hanashi Oral History Program. I'd encourage you to check that out. I've got the links there for you. And join us again next time when we hear from a wounded World War II bombardier who went on to be a renowned hunting guide. Thanks for listening to episode 442. Maybe that number will carry as much meaning for you now as it does for me. I'm Paul Leffler, reminding you again that freedom is not free.